All right, tell me this. Who here is under the age of 18? Not too many hands out there. All right, if you're under the age of 18, you have permission in 2 days' time to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, to run into the bedroom of your mum and dad, or the people who look after you, to rip them out of bed. Don't let them get washed or properly dressed, and force them to join you in celebrating. Because in just under 48 hours from now, what is it? It's Christmas. In just under 48 hours from now, it's Christmas Day. So if you're anything like me, who's mentally under the age of 18, you're going to spend the day with some of your favourite people, maybe your family or your friends. You're going to eat some of your favourite food, like roast potatoes, and turkey and ham and stuffing and chocolate cake. It's the best bit. You're going to do some of your favourite things, like maybe play a game or watch TV or go to church or take a nap. Hopefully not in church. Because if we're really honest, best of all, the best part of Christmas is that you get to open the presents. Because Christmas really is the best time, or supposed to be, the best time of year. But here's a question for you. If you didn't know it was Christmas, right? If nobody ever told you it was Christmas, or if you came from a foreign country like I've just come from, it doesn't really speak English. And let's pretend you couldn't even read English. How would you ever know it was Christmas? I don't like... Go. Why? Because you do. Good man. How would you know it's Christmas if nobody ever told you? Because Christmas is on Tuesday? That's an excellent point. Is there any sign or symbol, even in this church right now, that tells everybody that it's Christmas? What do you think? A Christmas tree. A Christmas tree. Now, if you walked into this church and you didn't speak English, or you couldn't read English and nobody told you it's Christmas and you saw that tree, you'd instantly know it's Christmas. But you put your Christmas tree up. Well, let me ask you, why would you put your Christmas tree up? Why is a tree a symbol of Christmas? Did you ever wonder why? Where did that thing come from? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you where that tree came from, right? Because just over 250 years ago, there was a king called King George III. Now, you saw lots of kings walking about with crowns today, but there was a king called King George III, and he had a wife called Charlotte. And Charlotte lived in Germany. And Charlotte noticed that lots of the Germans were really, really depressed. And they were depressed because the German winters were really cold and long and dark. And so depressed they were that they were desperate for some kind of hope, for something better than the cold, dark winters of the German winter. And because Christmas is a time that's full of hope, they wanted some kind of symbol to remind them of Christmas. So what Charlotte noticed is that what they did is they would take something cold and dark and wet around them and then transform it and make it look like Christmas. And because they were surrounded by trees, they'd take trees. And because Christmas is full of light and life and hope, they'd cover them in candles, which is where you get the lights from. And because Christmas is a time where you eat lots of food, they would cover their trees in apples and oranges and lots of different kinds of food. Because Christmas is a time that's full of fun, they would cover it in tinsel, which I don't see you have in your tree. Maybe you're not that fun. That's because you're lots of fun. And because Christmas is a time where you give lots of gifts, they'd put gifts at the bottom of their tree. And so Charlotte noticed that in Germany, in the midst of all these dark, cold, wet trees, there would be a special tree. One that looked like that. A tree that's full of life and light and hope and fun. And a tree that they would say was blessed. And not only was it blessed, but it also pointed you to something else. It pointed you to an even greater blessing, which is the blessing of Christmas. Because Christmas is supposed to be one of the most blessed times of year. He does. It's a good point. Because Christmas is a time where you give lots of gifts. But here's the problem. I remember my mum, every Christmas, used to say something I dreaded to hear. Every Christmas night, she would say, "Mark, that's it for another year. It's all over. All the fun and food and laughing and all the good time you'd have, it would all come to an end. All the food would end. The present you'd get would lose its novelty. And all of Christmas would just pass by." And because Christmas passes by, the tree is taken down. I think you'll be a future prime minister. Because Christmas ends, the sign is then taken away. And I remember one year, I was at my friend's house and he had a beautiful big tree like this. And the next day, guess where it was? What'd you say? It was in the fire. He was keeping the house warm because of the tree. Because as Christmas ends, so does the symbol. And here's the question. If Christmas really is the best time of year, and it comes to an end, is that the best you can hope for? Is food and fun and friends and family and presents, is that the best there is to life? When it all comes to an end? Or is there something more? Well, the Bible has a really interesting thing inside it. And that is a group of songs. Right? We sang today, didn't we? We sang lots of songs. Well, the Bible has a collection of songs. And they're called the Psalms. And the very first psalm, the very first song, begins by saying, "Blessed is the one person." Right? You see that word, blessed? It means to be joyful. It means to be full of life and full of hope. It's a bit like Christmas. And you know what the Bible says? It says, blessed, full of life and full of hope and full of joy is the person. Not who eats lots of food. Not who has lots of friends. Not who spends a day with their family. Not who gets lots of presents. But blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of God. Blessed is the person whose delight, in other words, who loves. Blessed is the person who loves the Bible. Blessed is the person who loves this. And what it says is that he loves it so much, guess what he does? He meditates. Now, if you were to ask someone, what does meditate mean? They'd probably say to go into a really small, dark room and don't think. But when the Bible talks about meditating, you know what it means? It means to read it and think about it. And then it means to talk it and talk about it. You know the way some people talk to themselves and we think they're crazy? Well, in the Bible, when you talk to yourself, that's what the Bible tells us to do. And it means that he thinks and talks about it so much that every time he thinks or goes to do something or say something, he's thinking and applying what God has said in his Bible. And when he or she does that, the Bible says he is blessed. He is full of life and hope and joy. So much so, the Bible says, guess what he's like? He's like a tree. But not one of those German trees. Not one of those dark, cold, wet trees. He's a bit more like a Christmas tree. Full of light and life and joy and hope. Because he is blessed. And just as the Christmas tree points you to something else, points you to an even greater blessing. So when we read God's Bible, not only are we blessed, but we point everybody else to something else. A better blessing. To God himself. Because as we read the Bible, we begin to know him. And as we know him as a good and gracious God. But there's a problem. It's a very serious problem. Now, is anybody here in P6? Anybody? You're in P6? Oh. Here's what happened to me in P6. I went to a school and my mom was my teacher. You're having nightmares already. Even worse than that, my mom was my teacher and she was the headmistress. And one day, my mom was teaching us in class, and somebody knocked the school door and wanted to speak to her. So she stands up, she says to everybody, "Excuse me, everybody, I have to leave the room for 2 minutes. So there's something you need to remember." She says, "Even if you cannot see me, I am still the teacher and the boss of this room. And there are 3 rules you need to follow. Number 1, sit in your seat. Number 2, do your work. And number 3, do not talk." So she stands up, she walks out of the room, and she goes to speak to the person who knocked the door. But I looked over and I saw a girl that I fancied. I thought, this is my big moment to shine. So I looked over and I thought, I'm going to impress her. So I stood up in my seat and looked over at her, looked around, and I started to dance while looking at the girl. And everybody started to laugh at me, not with me. I'm dancing with, right on my seat, and she's looking at me and she's laughing. And I'm loving it. Until I turned round, and guess who's there? My mother. There I was, standing on my seat. I knew the rules that were there, and instead of following them, I rejected them. You know why? In order to get what I wanted. And because I broke the rules, my mom brought me off the seat, and she threw me out of the room. And she gave me extra work for a week. And she still talks about it. So am I. Because the only thing that happens when you end up breaking the rules is that you get punished. And you end up hurting yourself. And the Bible tells us that when we read the Bible, we're blessed. And yet instead of following what God has said, we reject him. We don't want to follow his rules. We want to ignore them in order to get what we want. And just as when we break the rules of the classroom, we deserve to be punished, so the Bible tells us that when we break God's rules, we deserve to be punished. And instead of being blessed like the tree, we're more like those German trees. Cold, dark, and wet. And yet, here's the best bit of all. The Bible says God has a tree. Isn't that amazing? God has a tree. And the Bible tells us that God gets his tree and he cut it into two planks. One that went this way and one that went that way. And God called his tree the cross. And just as a Christmas tree is a symbol of something else, so that cross is a symbol of something else. It's a symbol of God's love for his people. And the Bible tells us that even though we deserve to be punished for breaking his laws, the Bible says that God sent his son. And that even though Jesus lived on this earth, and even though Jesus, God's son, fully delighted in his law, and even though God's son loves every word of what God said in his Bible, and even though he never deserved to be punished for anything he did, the Bible says that Jesus climbed up onto that cross and he took the punishment that we deserved in order that we could go free. Because on the cross is where we see the greatest blessing known to man. And just as you find a gift at the bottom of your Christmas tree, so on God's tree, at your tree, well, let me tell you about God's tree. Because at God's tree, just as you see gifts at the bottom of your Christmas tree, at God's tree, we find a gift. The gift of God's Son and forgiveness in Jesus. And that's a gift that doesn't cost you any money. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But God gives us a gift that when we come to him and we say sorry for rejecting his Bible, God gives us the gift of his Son and saves us from our sin. So, as you celebrate one of the best days of the year, don't let it be another Christmas that just passes you by. Don't let it be another gift that fades away on a day that fades away. But come to God's tree and receive his gift, that he will change you and give you new life, that you might delight in his Bible, and in all you do, you may be fully blessed. And as you're blessed, just like a tree, you can point everyone around you to God, that all may see who he is, and like you, can worship him. Let me pray for you. Lord God, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you for Christmas. And we thank you for the Christmas tree that is full of light and life and hope, pointing us to Christmas. And we thank you for your tree, the cross of Jesus, that is a symbol of your love, because on it is the ultimate blessing for us. We pray that we would receive your gift of Jesus, that you would change us, that we might never reject your Bible, but that you'd give us new life, that we might delight in your Bible and in you be fully blessed. I pray that everyone would come and receive your gift this Christmas. And I ask in Jesus' name.